Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Mondays brought to you by BDO's financial services team, helping you keep pace with fintech and regulations in financial services. It's all too easy to look at successful people and to say, boy, haven't they had it easy? And to go look at their great success, look at their businesses, look at what they've managed to achieve. And you forget to ask a couple of questions just about the hell that got them there. And I think tonight's Make Money Mondays special edition guest, Pepe Maria, has had his own fair share of hell. Lots of ups and downs and lots of excitement, no doubt, along the way too. But the group, Chief Creative Officer at Joe Public, the co-founder of Joe Public, it all started back 1990s, Pepe? Memory
1998. Good evening, Bruce.
How's the book going, by the way?
The book's selling well. I must say, I even impressed myself. So,
we spoke to you about the book a couple of months ago, and you were getting great traction as a result of the book, and people were buying it. They were motivated by your story, and the story is one of enormous optimism in the face of great adversity. And I mean, let's talk about some of that adversity in some detail tonight as we focus in specifically on the money, because you start this business in 1998, and it's all going lekker. And then you fall for the great international contract of the global advertising industry coming in and snapping up at relatively cheap prices South African businesses. And you were probably one of the first to be sold like that.
Yeah, in 2001. And interestingly, it was even then not for me personally for money, because there wasn't a lot of money in it. It was more the opportunity to take our takeaway advertising model to New York. So it was more the stars in the eyes, global expansion, what will my mother think, early success. It was never really about the money.
And it rapidly, I think, did become about the money, because no sooner had you sold it and you were bought out by an international company, that company was bought out, and it actually turned into a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, it's so interesting for me, because when we started the business, my absolute obsession was the quality of our product. And super product focused. And then Gareth was, of course, making sure that the business all adds up in the background. But the moment that we were working to deliver on the numbers, and the focus became the numbers rather than the product, the business steadily went into decline. So we had a spectacular first 3 years for three guys initially, and then two who almost started prematurely in business in our industry. And we had huge financial success based on caliber of our product. And then when we lost that focus, we pretty much lost the business.
I mean, and the Gareth you refer to, of course, is Gareth Leck, who's been your business partner since the very beginning. And you went through this very difficult sort of transition from being local boys to being global players together through that process.
Absolutely. I mean, Gary's almost, I joke today, she said, I'm the wife. Because we all know the wife's the boss, but I'm joking. But we've got a 21-year partnership and very good friends as well.
How does a partnership survive the decision-making, making a decision which you both then no doubt later regretted, particularly you as the creative one, in this organization where, I mean, it's all well and good to be an accountant chasing numbers, but if you're the creative in this arrangement, that's got to be hard to swallow.
I think it was equally hard to swallow. I don't think more so for me, because we're both entrepreneurs and we really went into that with the intention of growing our business and growing our takeaway model, which was so revolutionary back then. So I think we were equally to suddenly report, because we sold 100%, so we're pretty much employed. And to suddenly be so sort of driven by just bottom line focus and every single month just looking at margins and ratios and never at happiness of people or caliber of product or services was super insightful. But I'm grateful for it, because once we bought the business back, that learning was so deep that a sale is not on the horizon.
When you lost a big client in 2006, and that was a turning point for you, but did you lose that client in 2006 in your estimation because you couldn't focus on the product anymore? Had you lost lots of really talented and creative people who didn't sign up for your internationalization, and they kind of went, hold on a second, this isn't the business we joined? I mean, what was the story behind the sort of the death of creativity, if you like?
No, I think that particular event, look, there was the death of creativity in our business. It was just not focused. I was trying to keep a little flame alive, but I was compromising on everything I believe on in marketing and advertising. But But and also I say this not lightly, because this is through my lens that I view the world. But I actually fired one of our execs at that stage for racism, and he went to work for the biggest client and became our client, and he fired us. So me coming from an old South African background thought I was being super integrous, and it bit us. But again, looking back, it was the greatest gift, because it devalued the business to a level that we could actually offer a price to pay it back or to buy it back.
And then your timing sucks. Frankly, when you buy it back, and in retrospect, that's also possibly a good thing, because great businesses are built in difficult times. And I suppose international businesses in 2008, 2009 are beginning to feel huge pressure internationally. We don't know what's going to happen to the global economy back then. And do they come to you? Do you go to them and say, okay, fine, we'll have it back?
I mean, if I think of the story is actually really unique, because I don't think in our industry in history ever international owned business bought themselves back, and it took us a good two and a half years to negotiate, and in the end Gareth myself actually resigned and said we're walking. And I think they had to do the math and go, you know, the business will then completely fail, and they probably pay out more than we had to buy the business for. But then as we bought it back, we were smack bang, I think it was February 26, 2009, and that was in the middle of the worst recession we've ever felt in this country. And I remember on the day that we signed the contract to buy the business back, we lost R1 million on a media mistake. So within 2 months, we were bankrupt. We were out of cash. We all know cash flow is what keeps our businesses alive. And so we were rock bottom 2 months later after buying this business back and putting our houses up. So, yeah, you're right. It's all good and well to look at business and think it's easy, but it's pretty tough.
I mean, and how, I mean, by that time, you've got a business relationship that's a dozen years old. And you managed to keep that relationship together, but it must be a hugely stressful time.
Incredibly so. And I think actually more so even for Gareth, who's so close to the purse strings of the business. And I'm more the factory manager. I'm on the front line and doing the work. But it was super stressful for both of us, because this is our child. This is, you know, a business is very much like a child. If you're an entrepreneur, you know it. It's a second thing dearest to your own living, breathing child. And to keep that business alive was almost took superhuman effort of both of us. But somehow, I don't know, we saw it through, and we had a great business insight the following years, and the following year in 2010, and I think it changed the trajectory of our business.
But you say you were bankrupt. I mean, you could have chucked in the towel back then and gone, well, that was a nice try. Oh, well, let's go and find proper jobs. And off you could have gone, and you could have said to everybody, sorry, but the company no longer exists. There are no longer any jobs, and we're out of here. But I think you were made of sterner stuff. Especially as you were doing this in an environment that was so negative, people talk about now being negative. That was a fundamentally more uncertain time. There was no outlook whatsoever in terms of the economy.
Yeah, but so therein lies the blessing of working for yourself, because I think if we were still belonging to internationals, they probably would have shut us down. I mean, one of our key clients back then, I won't mention the name of the client, but we worked for 7 months for free. We just said, well, they can't afford to pay our fee, but we'll still deliver a service, because if the tide turn, we will have that business back. And for 7 months, that fee dropped, I think, from 388,000 rand a month to zero. And we just continue to service them.
You must be your bank manager's biggest nightmare client.
I don't think our banks really, you know, when you have nothing, you don't get an overdraft. It's very interesting. So it wasn't really a problem. And I think what happened was, what was it, about May 2009, pretty much before shutting the doors, we won a piece of business, Brothers for Life, an AIDS a campaign that we've been doing for many years since then. And that piece of business, and I think one of the key reasons why we won that pitch was, of course, our thinking and our strategy and our creative, but also the fact that we were already invested in township schools at that stage. And I think they saw the heart of the agency, and that piece of business pretty much put us back in the game.
We're talking to Pepe Maria, who is the Group Chief Creative Officer at Joe Public. It's an advertising agency of great repute in South Africa. We've got the big high-level business story about how the wheels have come off a couple of times. Somehow they managed to stick them back on each time. We'll talk to Pepe about his personal wheels and how well those are greased when it comes to dealing with his money outside of that money of the business, of course.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Pepe Maria is our guest this evening, Group Chief Creative Officer at Joe Public. We've heard how he has helped manage the business of Joe Public since its inception. Are you any good at managing your own money?
Well, the only subject I was good at school was maths. So
maths and money are pretty good. Maths and money are two completely different. Maths is analytical and unemotional. Money is deeply personal and can often be very emotional.
Yeah, I think money for me is totally emotional, but I just think I do understand numbers. And hence, I would say I'll give myself credit that I am actually really good with money, although I probably over-invested in lifestyle assets over the years a bit too much.
Like?
Trying to rectify that. Well, it was very important for me for a very long time to create a safe haven for myself and my family, because family time is limited.
You didn't have that either growing up very much.
I didn't have that. And it's interesting. It's a dream of mine that I had since about the age of 10. And I always wanted a property that looks onto water, and now I've got too many of them.
A property, too many of them. How many is too many?
Well, I've got a lot of land, put it that way.
does that bother you in South Africa in 2019?
No, I'm very positive and very bullish about this country. Absolutely, and I think the more I put a stake in the ground here, the less chance for me to ever leave. They'll have to kick me out if they want me to go. I'm here for life. So it doesn't bug me, but I mean, I suppose in the current climate, property is not very good game to be in, but the wheel will turn. So it's just sitting there, but I've got a fair amount of property.
Does the property do any work for you, or is it all purely lifestyle stuff? I mean, is it all like, oh, I feel like going to go and see this ocean this month, we're going off that way, or whatever the case might be?
No, only one of my properties work for me at the moment, which is great. So it gives me a better return than the market will give me. But the rest is just lying dormant. And then probably the most expensive investment gives me lifestyle. And I find it interesting because I don't expect to yield any financial returns on that investment, because I think it's already paid for itself just by our family being together there and being able to be there with our friends. I mean, we never put financial value to those times, you know, and they're almost invaluable. So I do look at money differently.
How do you balance the demands of running a business and then the demands of family? And you put those demands upon yourself. You want to spend time with your family. Yeah. You want to have that quality time that you feel like you missed out on as a kid.
I think it's a choice. So people always go like, how do you manage balance? And I say, well, balance doesn't exist. It's all just one thing for me, because I'm super passionate about what I do. I'm super passionate about business, and I'm super passionate about my family. And I've probably got one of the most supportive wives. I mean, I'm biased, but she's incredible. We've been together for 33 years, and she supports me no matter what. And I just make sure that when we do spend time together, that it's focused and quality time.
Tell me about making investments. So you've talked lifestyle investments, which you regret financially, but not from a lifestyle perspective. It gives you what you need for you and your family. When it comes to making investments, when it comes to putting money away.
Yeah. So look, I've been very diligent with putting money. I probably, about since a decade ago when the business started to turn, in the second half of the business, I really started saving quite a bit of my monthly income, putting that away in various investments. But I would say my greatest investment is our business. I mean, our business, if I think about it, probably yield a better return for me personally than Capitec shares.
Sheesh.
So for me, really focusing on the growth of the business has been my greatest investment. And it is yielding a good return for all of us. But it's got a lot of stretch and a lot more to give in terms of value to our clients and our people. And then in turn, we'll get more reward out of our business in the longer term.
Is that your best money decision ever, do you think? Investing in yourselves and the business?
Absolutely. I really believe back yourself. The only other shares that I invest in is when I work for clients. So Nedbank pretty much changed my life as a client, and I invest in Nedbank. I've got Nedbank shares. And then Italtile's been one of my best shares I've ever invested in. And that's also, the founder backs my personal dreams, and I back his business with my money. The little bit that I put into his business, but it's
what is the motivation for that, though? I mean, is it truly you're investing, you're getting a real insight into the business, you feel the ups, you feel the downs, you feel the pain points, you feel the successes?
So I'm a trained creative, one could say almost artist. So I work off my instinct and my gut. And I feel that if a client invests in our business by entrusting us with their business, then I'm going to entrust my money with them. And I don't think it's to gather the insight. It's just that I hedge with the people that believe in me because I believe in them. And so far that's paid off for me. And then I've got one other part of my portfolio is just spread across international shares. But my biggest thing now is to build my cash portfolio.
Tell me about the worst money decision you've ever made. Other than property. Because, I mean, property, from a financial perspective, property is not being great. But have you made a blunder? Have you backed the wrong horse? Have you backed the wrong guy, a client, and you went, oh, I'm going to put money into you and they've gone bust or something exciting? So,
the funny thing is, and I mentioned Capitec, but because, I mean, it has yielded a spectacular return for whoever invested in it. But in 2006, I made a pretty penny on property. I bought a property in Cape Town and made about 500% return within a year. So 5x return, and I took that money and bought a piece of land, the one where I built a house now at the Vaal River, on complete emotion. I paid the owner double for what he wanted because he didn't want to sell. And that was probably, if I took that money and put that into proper shares, I would have made a massive return.
Imagine if you put it into Naspers or you put it into Capitec back then.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it would have been insane. But I don't think like that because I think the value that I got out of there with my family is much more.
Tell me about, do you regret money decisions, or do you just roll with the punches? You make a decision, live with it.
No, I roll. My wife will vouch for that. I'm not attached. I don't get very attached to material things. I love beautiful things, and I do spend on because I love craft. I love quality, and if I can afford to buy it.
What sort of objects do you buy? What sort of craft do you buy?
Well, I love a beautiful car. And I'm a water person, so I put a lot of money into a boat. All the things they say don't invest in, I've invested in. So that's the story I tell myself.
No, of course. But I mean, it's as long as it's disposable income, and if it's money that adds to life, and there is enough of it, you know, live well.
I've never. This is one thing I can say. I might be a little bit looser with my money in terms of, but I've never bought things that I could not afford. There were times I bought maybe a smarter car too early in my life, and I think that's just typical when you grow up with nothing, you want to look rich too soon. So I've made that mistake as well before, but that was quite a long time ago. And I do understand it when people do that, because you're coming from a place of having nothing, you want to show that you've got something. But that's probably some of the worst things I've done, was buying an expensive car too soon.
Fabulous stories. Pepe Murray, thank you very much for your time. Very generous of you to come back again. The Group Chief Creative Officer at Joe Public. Make Money Mondays, special edition.